Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. And, boys, I'm happy to report that I'm sipping my LaGarce Roasters Happy Rant Signature Blend coffee out of a little bit different mug today. And I'm guessing you guys have had a similar experience. Let me describe what I'm looking at. I'm drinking out of a coffee mug that has an artist rendering, an original piece of Megan Tennant artwork has been somehow, I don't know how they do this at Missionalware, but miraculously superimposed onto a coffee mug. So I'm looking at Pipe swinging a baseball bat, me riding a horse, and Retreat Man running through an airport lobby with lanyards flying. This is the most amazing thing, you guys. When I opened this package today, I was beyond excited, and the coffee mug delivers. So, Pipe, tell them about Missionalware. Tell them about where they can get other gear, what other kinds of gear they can get with our images emblazoned on it.
Yeah, so longtime listeners will know we've worked with Missionalware for a long time. They do all of our merch and our swag. And so if you just go to missionalware.com, you search Happy Rant, you can find there are other coffee mugs with our logo on them. There are pint glasses. There are moleskin notebooks. There are both regular-sized and super-sized Yeti-style tumblers, which are great for carrying around your LaGarce Roasters coffee and keeping it warm all day long. Let's see, what else? There are T-shirts, which are very comfortable. They're not the super, super thin soft cotton, but they are very nice and soft and comfortable. They're not like beefy tee heavy cotton, so they're a little sturdier. They'll last longer. They look great. Just that nice sharp logo on like a, what do they call that color? It's not blue-gray. It's a heather, I think, is sort of the name for it. So, and they're pretty much always running a discount, either free shipping or 10% off if you use the code RANT at checkout. So missionalware.com, check out all the stuff. The mugs that Ted is describing do look amazing. Ted, did you notice that I have the verified check on my t-shirt on this mug?
Dude, I noticed that originally when Megan produced that drawing. I had to take a double take of the shirt. I'm like, what's on his shirt? And I'm like, it's a blue check.
She worked in like these perfect subtleties on all of these. Cause Ted, you've got the football in your satchel on horseback. Yep. Ronnie has raisins flying out of his carry-on. And lanyard swinging and the 5 o'clock shadow. And then I've got the blue check and my dog made an appearance as well. So,
dude, it's incredible. It couldn't be more perfect is the thing.
Here's the bad news for listeners. These aren't available yet since they just showed up today for us. They will be available once we get all the deals worked out so that the artist is well taken care of in the situation.
We got to get in a boardroom with Jeff. Yep. Just have some high level negotiations. We don't want to bore people with these details.
And as creative people, we want to make sure that the person doing the creative rendering is properly taken care of, not trying to scrub the artist out of this deal. So they will be coming. Right. They're not there yet. They look amazing. But you can find all the other stuff, missionalware.com, search Happy Rant, and then use the code RANT at checkout for a discount of some variety, whichever one they have going on right now.
I don't want to put the cart before the horse, boys, but I think Megan is going to get rich on this deal. don't you? Isn't that what you were thinking, Big R, as you know, Pipe was describing that business deal that we're doing? I just think she's going to get rich.
You know, one of the things people should know about us is that we don't just make ourselves money. We make other people money. We make millionaires on this program.
That's right. That's right. We're star makers, Big R, you know? And the older we get, the more it pleases me just to launch another career. You know what I mean? Just to make a star.
Absolutely.
But no, we're thrilled with this artwork. Have we talked on the program? Correct me if I'm wrong. Have we talked about the Civil War rendering that Megan made?
I don't know if that one made an appearance because
that happened a few days ago, right? Didn't it happen at the end?
I think it did. Yeah. I don't know like when we talked about.
And she did like the initial renderings of all of us, and they were so spectacular. We've talked up that work, but then this was like a bonus because we had talked about you doing Civil War reenactment, and so it was just like a really awesome surprise.
This was a side project. So yeah, the rendering, if I could describe it, because Hans Bubby, this is radio, not television. I think I'm like walking through the, am I on a horse again? I might be on a horse again. And I've got a bullet wound in my arm. So the wound is like lashed with gauze, and you can see a little blood seeping through it. But I look very heroic in my general's outfit. And Ron is sort of kneeling, you know, ostensibly by a campfire, but he has a little Chemex. He's doing a little pour over situation, because if we were in the Civil War, Ron would be a hipster soldier, and he would be you know, heating up his rationed coffee in that fashion. And then Pipes, like, leaning on a sword, looking very James Deany, in like a t-shirt, and he has a phone. So Pipe has his cell phone on the battlefield.
Tweeting your Civil War reenactment experience in uniform.
Tweeting the battle.
Exactly.
Somebody,
I love it.
Tweet,
dude. It's phenomenal.
We can't all just shoot guns. We got to tweet.
Absolutely. If that hasn't been posted to social media, we'll get on that post haste. But speaking of things that we'll get to post haste, boys, we have some compelling topics to talk about today. Some summertime type topics, and one that's tied to a current event. Now, Piper, you and I will fully unpack the implications of this on our other sports program that we don't want to bore Big R with the existence of. So the idea here is, Big R, I don't know how much you caught about the LeBron James incident, LeBron leaving the Cleveland area, leaving the state of Ohio, breaking hearts all over the upper Midwest to seek fame and fortune in Los Angeles and Hollywood. How do you deal with something that you think is dumb, but people in your congregation are like legit broken up over? Because I know you think this is dumb. Like, what are you going to do if somebody like goes there with you conversationally?
Oh, dude, I mean, it's going to happen. This is what's so crazy. This is what people don't understand about me with sports. Yeah. This is the only kind of stuff about sports that I actually find interesting. Because,
dude,
I just,
really,
I,
what do you find interesting about this?
Heartbreak and misery.
I like lifestyle stuff with sports. So I like knowing what the guys are making, what they're doing. See, there's just nothing compelling. People have got to understand this. There's nothing compelling to me about men in sneakers holding. There's nothing interesting about a basketball to me. Therefore, the sport just carries no interest for me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, just watching men running on like a court. There's not enough instrumentation there, for lack of a better word. Like if there's something more interesting and technical about a basketball, I might be able to get into it, but there's nothing that can hold my interest about
it. So the ball itself, you actually take umbrage with. Like, I would think you would like the ball.
It's too simple. It's just too simple for me. It's too basic, right? To use one of those millennial terms, right? But but then when you start talking about a dude that's making decisions for 154 mil and is going to move out to LA because, you know, it's a big thing to join the Lakers and, you know, the legacy with the Lakers. Like, now I'm interested. Like, now let's chat about sports. But what's funny to me is that, being here, I mean, dude, I mean, we're probably going to have our most packed like service in like since we started this Sunday, all these people that are just kind of coming in all like moping out on the
Maybe listen to me. People are going to be looking for answers.
Absolutely. Okay?
You're going to need to meet them in their pain, and I hope you're ready for that. I hope your elders are ready for that.
I am ready. I mean, I'm trying to find that one. I forget what passage it was that talks about basketball in the New Testament. Sure. But I just can design the message. I got my worship guy writing a song about like basketball and the gospel. It's going to be awesome.
There you go.
Fantastic. I think Ronnie deserves a quick moment of credit for pulling out the contract terms.
Yeah, $154 million.
I mean, this was not a ballpark figure. This was, as reported by Adrian Wojnarowski, the announcement guy. So, yeah, Ronnie, you deserve major credit for that, because yes, you were apparently very interested in this. This was not like, oh yeah, LeBron's going to a place. You're like, no, he's going to the Lakers of Southern California in Los Angeles for exactly this amount of money. So, kudos to you for locking in on the aspect of sports you're actually interested in.
Well, I mean, it's like, I find it so fascinating that our boy LB, like, he doesn't need $154 million.
But yeah, the guy's like, got all the money in the world.
I know, it's crazy to me, because it's like, is he, I mean, obviously all these guys still do stuff for the money because they have managers that make sure that they're still in it for the money.
Sure.
But at the same time,
it's like, because those guys really get paid a percentage.
Exactly. So, but at the same time, like, this dude is like, this will be the last team he ever goes to. Am I wrong about that? He's getting a little older.
Probably, will this be it for him? This will probably be it for him, don't you think, Pipe?
That, I mean, he has not signed a contract longer than like 1 year with an option since he left Miami. So it is pretty weird that he did 4 years. It seems like it, because what is he now, 33?
Yeah, I mean, this will bring him to the – I mean, you know, by that – by this late 30s, he kind of had it, right?
Yeah.
You're on the decline by that
point. He'll definitely be on the decline.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, I have a couple of dudes in my head right now that – I mean – I guess, so the reason why I find out about this stuff is because I actually have people that like start like texting me all this information. So then they just text
Dude,
me.
Dude, who texted to you? Do I know them?
You don't, man. But
is
just
it the
guy,
two guys in your town that I know?
No, it's not. It literally wasn't either of them. But it was just interesting because they texted me this, and so my radar goes off, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's interesting. And then and then Big T, it's like just what you're saying. Like I can't wait to see how depressed everybody's going to be, because it's going to be out of control, literally.
It's going to be amazing. Now, I have sub-questions. I have follow-ups for both of you. I'm going to go with you first, Piper. In light of this LeBron situation, who do you think is going to be the first reformed guy to write like a think piece essay about it? Tying in the concepts of fame, materialism, loyalty. So these are the kind of think PC sorts of issues that we're gonna tread over in this, you know, hypothetical reformed essay. Who's gonna write it? Who's gonna be first to that party?
Oh, Pipe's like, I already wrote it.
No, probably some systematic theology prof at an obscure institution, but it's gonna definitely go up on the Gospel Coalition. Just maybe the same guy who wrote the "Why Tackle Football Should Be Abolished" post. Because I feel like,
dude, who was that?
I don't know. This is right in his wheelhouse. Him being the vague caricature of theologian delving into sports.
Theologian delving into sports. So the angle will be, you know, our culture is so out of whack when this is what we value. You know what? This is what we argue about.
I feel like all that's such a okay. Well, let's chew on this one. I feel like that's a tired storyline. You're not wrong. Somebody's going to write that piece.
Oh, absolutely.
But what's the nobody ever thought of it angle on this? Like, I feel like the nobody ever thought of it angle is a defense of LeBron in some way, shape, or form.
Reform guys do love justifying seeking wealth. Like, there's a certain subset of reform guys that really likes to defend, you know what, go out and provide for your family. The Bible never says, you know, don't get rich.
Well, do you think it's because LeBron also gives away so much money? They're going to be like, this is so much more good he's going to be able to do now with that 154.
Dude, I don't even know if they're going to bring that into it. I think it's just going to be a kind of a small government capitalist mindset of like, go and seek your wealth and, you know, nobody can deny you this because you've earned it kind of thing.
I think you also touched on a very interesting point, and that is take care of your family, because apparently he has been exploring some excellent private schools for his children. His wife loves Los Angeles. So this could be honestly, moving from Cleveland to Los Angeles is probably good for anybody's family. No offense, Ohio. Yeah.
Isn't LA known as just like kind of a nice, quaint, sleepy place to raise a family?
Very family oriented.
Really the epicenter of family values kind of originates in LA.
Yep. Yeah. Very puritanical in both its work ethic and its fashion style.
Modest dressing. Absolutely.
Yes.
Really safe too.
Dude, so safe.
Yeah.
You don't even have to lock your doors in LA, Big R.
No.
Leave the front door kind of swinging open?
LA is the Ashland of California.
Oh, sure. America's front porch. You know, come all.
So, yeah, this is a family values move is what this is.
But you know what's nuts, man? This is what somebody's going to say to me. And Big T, I want to hear you comment on this, man.
Yeah, sure.
Because it was kind of fascinating because like Ohio and like we're close to Cleveland. They're very aware of like this idea that we need something positive for our city.
And yes, so, it's the inferiority complex.
It is. So like when LeBron wins, it's just like, man, this is all we have left. We're hanging on to this. This makes us feel like there's hope and there's like a brighter future. And it was even so check it out. It was so extreme that who was the Chicago baseball team that won the thing a couple years ago?
The Cubs. Yeah.
Even when the Cubs, this is what I got from everybody after the Cubbies won, right? It was this. It was like, you know what? We're actually happy for them because we can relate to them. They needed something good to happen, just like we need something good to happen. If it couldn't happen to us, at least it happened. At least it happened.
Dude, that's such a load. Chicago is such a great city. You know what I mean? They have nothing to feel inferior about.
But they feel like because it had been so long.
Oh, the long suffering.
But even like Chicagoans were talking like, you don't understand. I had this one guy, this pastor out there. He's like, you don't understand, Ronnie, like this was such a boost for the city. Like we needed this kind of inspiration.
Dude, that's such a load of crap.
Dude, I'm serious. It was like, and I just listen and I go, yeah, totally, man. Totally.
Dude, see, I love sports and that's a load of crap to me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And I come from a city, Minneapolis, well, the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, that is a beleaguered sports town. We perpetually suck and disappoint our fans. And yet, somehow, some way, it is a thriving metropolis with, I mean, it ranks as like one of the healthiest cities. The job market is among the best. It's one of the best places to raise a family. Look at all these rankings.
Yeah.
I don't know how we do it with no championships. It's a miracle.
Yeah,
maybe
it's amazing.
I guess the Minnesota Lynx, the WNBA team, are keeping us all afloat. But it's
It's amazing that you guys even get up in the morning. How do you do it with no championships?
I barely every day. It's it's like 4 Xanax and 9 cups of Lagardus Roasters just to get into my day. And
That's the Happy Rant cocktail right
how,
there.
How is Cleveland and the greater Ohio area going to do it, Ron? Can you get
out
of bed tomorrow?
They're not. I'm already thinking of a couple of guys that are going to come to me and they're going to be like, you don't even want to hear about this. And I'm going to be like, oh, what, 154? No, I know all about it, man. I'm with you on this.
154.
But, dude, here's the thing. So
Just don't tell them you're from California originally. They'll think you're a traitor.
They already know that. Everybody already knows that because the plates on our car already said California when we moved here, and they've never.
And also because of everything else about you. there's that too.
It was
it's just the plates on the car.
It was just the plates.
Okay.
There was nothing else that screamed California about me.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sympathetic, man. I'm sympathetic. Yeah. I grew up in California suburbs, which weren't incredibly like sporty oriented. This is all sports all the time. So people just grow up with this mentality that if our team is winning, we are winning in life. And I get that. I'm more compassionate and sympathetic to that now than I would have been otherwise. So I get it, man. LeBron leaving, it's not dumb. It's significant. In the grand scheme of things, it's dumb and insignificant.
What are you, from Anaheim, Snoop Dogg? Roll up. Piper, listen. I want you to be ready for something. The savior, Kirk Cousins, is going to deliver a title for you guys this year. So the whole mindset of the city of Minneapolis is going to change after that. You'll no longer be the sort of downtrodden, put upon, inferior sports city that you've built your persona on. So
I'm almost afraid of the Vikings winning a title because I won't know who I am anymore. And like my identity as beleaguered, cynical, curmudgeon fan will just be erased. And I don't know what to
do. Dude, seriously. So that's like a real thing with Cubs fans, too. You could no longer hang your hat on like, well, we're going to blow it. We're going to find a way to lose, harumph. It's a total mindset.
And I'm afraid of becoming insufferable. Like, think about Boston Red Sox fans. You know, they went 96 years without a title, and then they won 2 or 3 really quickly. And now they're just the worst.
Dude, they became so hateable so fast.
Yeah.
Whereas before, they were kind of quaint and charming and, everybody loved Red Sox fans.
Yeah, I mean,
they were
all Goodwill Hunting. And now they're, and now they're like, oh, just shut up. Just shut up,
exactly.
All of you.
Guys, let's remember what program we're doing right now, shall we?
Yeah.
That's why I threw in Goodwill Hunting. That's a reference that you would understand, Ron.
Big R, I want to get back to that.
Sports, it's coming. It's coming, boys. Just hang in there. I know
you're
chomping at the bit. Just hang in.
I have a sports-related LA question for you. This is the last sub-question on this topic before we move on. Who is your favorite old-timey Los Angeles Laker? So as you think back to like the 80s Showtime Lakers of your youth, who is your fave, man?
Kurt Rambis.
I was going to say, there's only one right answer.
There's only one right answer to that question, and it's Kurt Rambis.
Yeah, Kurt Rambis.
Absolutely.
Well,
that was easy.
Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah,
but I mean, you didn't really. I mean that dream team. You didn't really have favorites on the dream team, right? You collectively liked all of them for different reasons. That's just how it went.
Great personalities. You know what? LeBron James will move out there, and he'll be the least interesting Laker ever. Like the Kobe and Shaq era will look like the Smithsonian in terms of interest compared to.
Here's my question, you guys. I'm sorry, I'm keeping it kind of on the happier end sports.
No, that's fine.
I mean, is it too late for him to move out to a team like the Lakers and even establish a new era? I feel like it's too late for that, isn't it?
Pipe, speak to that.
Like a new era for the Lakers?
Yeah, I mean, is he going to have a guy where they can be a dynamic duo? They can be a, you know, a Kobe Shaq. I mean, he's too old for that, right? I mean, can that even happen?
Dude, see, I think the era of collecting NBA eras is over. Like, it's just about, like, assembling the right mercenaries now. Like, that's all it is.
That's the thing is, it is an era of stars. It's not like team identity doesn't mean anything. So Kobe and Shaq was an era, and then the Kobe era sort of stayed around a little. Now it's just a time of, like, you collect stars, and the uniform only really sort of matters to people in that city. Mostly it's when these stars played together, and Los Angeles is a city of stars, as La La Land, Ronnie, there's another movie reference for you, reminded us. So he'll fit right in, and he'll, like, the purple and gold, the stars, like, that works. But the LeBron era in Los Angeles is just really the LeBron era in a whole bunch of different uniforms.
Absolutely. Well said, Pipe. Well said. Gosh, this has been a great episode of Happy Rant Sports, and until next time.
And to listeners, we apologize.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how do you guys sign off on Happy Rant Sports? You don't say Rachel Behold Evans, do you?
Dude, no, we sign it off with the name of an athlete whose cadence fits – you know, that cadence, you know what I mean? Oh. So, like, Rachel the Held Evans, like, rhythmically, we just pick an athlete whose name kind of...
Is it a different one every time?
It's a different one every time. It's really fun, actually. Yeah,
it sounds like a blast.
It is a blast. You should listen, baby.
Oh, I would never listen. But go on. Yeah. Let's go to the next topic.
Yeah.
I'm listening right now, so I am listening.
Are you? Are we boring you?
You contributed really well. Like, I'm...
Dude,
I'm
he did. Really, I'm surprised.
I'm appreciative of your efforts, Ron.
Piper, I'm surprised at what Big R brought to the table in that last topic. I thought we'd get a kind of hump and an eye roll, but he was engaged. He was thoroughly engaged.
I feel like we maxed it out and then kept going for about 4 minutes too long. But
we did. Yeah, we overdid it.
Minutes, but okay.
We overdid it. Yeah, by the time we got to Kurt minutes. Rambis, he was checked out.
I'm going to say, it's time to end the program now, but yeah, right.
All right, let's get back to something that could be more interesting for Big R. Now that it's summer, Piper, I played catch with my kid outside for a few minutes before we went on the air, and it was roughly 150 degrees out. I think the heat index here in Tennessee is at, like, surface of the sun level,
dude,
right?
Dude, it literally is insane. It's like the nether regions of hell right now.
Can I ask you guys a question
about
heat index? So,
yeah.
You know, you look at the weather app, it says it's 94 degrees outside, but it feels like 107. If it feels like 107, isn't it 107 degrees outside?
Doesn't matter how you feel. It matters what is.
But, like, what 94 is a pretend number if it feels like 107. And I can tell you, it feels like 107 degrees outside right now because the surface of the sun is about right.
I just don't know what the difference between feeling like 98 and 107 quantitatively is. You know, it's just hot and miserable.
Are you going to die in 8 minutes or in 6.5 minutes being outside, I think is what
Boys,
it
it's
down
the
to.
Humidity that I can't deal with because I grew up in that beautiful Los Angeles Lakers La La Land dry.
Just a family paradise out there.
Yeah, it's dry. It's not all this like, oh, no, I walk outside and I feel like my insides are about to, like, melt down. You know, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I don't know how to do the humidity.
Maybe that's why LeBron is moving out. I mean, if we really get down to brass tacks,
because I'm sure he spent every summer in Cleveland. His whole offseason was spent in the lovely Cleveland.
Dude, lovely Cleveland. It wasn't in Miami at South Beach, you know, partying with famous people. It was
dude, no. He only likes Cleveland. I think he'll probably still live here, even though he's with the Lakers.
I'm sure he will.
Cost
I'm
of
sure
living is much lower than Los Angeles.
Well, there's no doubt about that.
I love it. He'll barely get like three bedrooms with 154 mil in Los Angeles.
Oh, man. It'll be like the Shack.
Yeah, he should write the Shack too with William Young. I wonder what that guy's doing now. Remember that turd? Remember that horrible book? Whatever happened to that, man?
Well, they made a movie last year.
Did they? Who was in it?
I think got a Kirk Cameron. You know, the same people that are always in these movies. I don't know.
Dude,
no,
they had some A-list actors.
They had some A-list.
It had some A-list actors. It just looked like a really weird, like, pseudo-fantasy kind of thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet it was so bad. We should watch it ironically and do an episode about it.
Like
we
a Mystery Science Theater 3000 on the Shaq movie.
Dude, that would be so fun.
It actually looked a lot like that last horrible movie they remade called Wrinkle in Time. I just watched that
the other night, and I'm going to add that. It's like in my top five life decisions I regret. Because that
yeah,
book,
you should have regretted that
before
you watched it, man.
You know what? I read the book with my kids because I'm trying to be a good parent, like Ted was talking about playing catch earlier. And then I watched the movie, and subtracted every positive thing I'd contributed to them, plus like four other good books. Like it just subtracted. I mean, it subtracted so all sorts of things. It was so bad.
I mean, Piper, just the fakeness of it, the horribleness of it. Yeah.
Because we're such good parents, I feel like we should move to LA with LeBron James and just kind of be a part of the new kind of family movement out there. You know?
I maybe start like a homeschool co-op out there or something.
I bet he would be up for that. Let me reach out to his people and see if he would be up for starting a homeschool collective in the greater Los Angeles area.
Just keep it within the budget, man. And remember, it's safe out there. It's safe.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It's going to cost us like $8.2 billion to live out there. So we're going to have to sell a few coffee mugs. So Jeff,
yeah, jump on it, listeners.
Get the word out. But all right, since we're talking about movies, let's go here. Who are some actors who will make you see a movie? And then on the flip side, an actor who would make you not see a movie. Like if they're in the movie, you're out. Let's start with that. Let's start with the negative first. I actually have one to prime the pump on this. So the actor that I will not see a movie if this guy's in it is Eric Bana. Do you guys know who Eric Bana is?
Yeah, he's the Hulk, right?
He might be the Hulk. I'm not sure. He was in Troy. He was in The Time Traveler's Wife. Yeah. I just find him to be the most boring, like JCPenney's model of an actor imaginable. And sorry to the Bana family if you guys are listeners. my apologies. But and I might run into him in L.A. when I'm doing like family stuff out there. I'm sure he has kids, but so that'll be awkward. But yeah, if Eric Bana's in the movie, I'm not watching the movie. Pipe, do you have one of these?
Did you ever see Munich?
I did see Munich, and I thought
he was the lead in that, and it was tolerable.
It was tolerable. That was the best. That's the top of the mountain for Eric Bana. But even that movie, I thought, man, that could have been so much more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I would never rewatch it.
All right. So actors, I feel like for me, there's a category of actors who I can no longer watch. So they once upon a time, and it's aging actors who are still, they're now caricatures of themselves. So like Tom Cruise, for example. He's not quite in this category because he still does fun movies. Like I'll probably see Mission Impossible 84 or whichever the next one is that's coming out. Because
dude, the funny thing about those movies though is they all suck. Yeah. But I get excited about each and every one of them, and I watch them. And I'm like, oh, this is a terrible.
They
movie.
Over the top suck, which makes them tolerable. Like they're not self.
That's
they're not,
true.
They're not pretentious. It's like no, he's gonna hang from a cliff by his fingertips, and he's gonna swing on a rope, you know, and not hit the floor, and then.
And you know, he really did that, and he really did that stunt too. So that's
yeah,
that.
Which is especially impressive because he's 67 years old. And so he's close. Russell Crowe is reaching this territory for me. Because he hasn't acted in his last 11 movies. He just grumps and acts like himself. Yeah. So he's real close to somebody who I'm like, why would I see that? If they'd put anybody with a personality in that, it would have been better.
Here's what I'm predicting, though. I'm calling my shot vis-a-vis Russell Crowe. He's about a decade away from, like, awesome grizzled old man roles. You know what I mean? Where he could just sit and be a grump and, like, harumph about everything in an awesome way.
That's true. So he's essentially Harrison Ford – two decades ago.
Yeah, exactly. He's like pre-old awesome Harrison Ford right now. So he's got about a decade to wait it out, and then he's gonna come roaring back with a little bit of that.
Okay. I can see that. Yeah, that's...
He's like a dude that feels like you get the sense he doesn't even like making movies anymore.
Like you get the sense that he doesn't even like anything anymore.
Right. Like, it's like he made all his money. It's like, why do I have to keep doing this?
Yeah,
why do I have to keep doing this really awesome job that everyone in the world would dream about doing?
Exactly.
Yeah, this sucks.
The one scene where his personality came through is the scene in Gladiator where he spins around at the crowd and yells, "Are you not entertained?" That's him about every movie he's in to people who watch it. He's like, "What, are you not entertained?" I think that's just his attitude towards Hollywood and viewers. That's sort of his life motto based on what I'm picking up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Big R, who's a deal breaker for you? If they're in the movie, you're not seeing it.
Dude, I don't know. It's probably more of a genre thing for me. Like I like pretty much like anything, you know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is in. Like I just there's no way I will ever watch that. I mean just looking at the
dude,
guy.
Was there ever any chance you would watch anything with Dwayne The Rock Johnson in it though?
Well, I mean, probably not, but like even just to see a preview from him, I just go like I feel like my life is like flashing before my eyes and I'm thinking like Like, who's going to go see a movie by Dwayne? And I know millions of people. He's like the highest paid actor in Hollywood right now or something. And you just, but I just look at it and I just go, yeah, it's not even fun for me.
Here's a sub question. What hipster actor to balance the scales would have to be in a Dwayne The Rock Johnson movie to get you to go see it? Would it take?
Literally, there's literally nobody. Okay. There's not one actor. There's nobody that can redeem Dwayne.
Even if it's like Jeff Goldblum at like his most hipster ironic, he couldn't like reverse the Dwayne The Rock Johnson effect on a movie.
Yeah, I just can't do it, man.
Interesting.
Jeff Bridges, maybe? Like, just somebody who's always compelling, even if it's a weird movie?
I mean, I do like Jeff Bridges, but he's just going to be playing one of those token roles. Like, he's going to be like the president of the corporation that, you know, the underground corporation Dwayne works for. And so, you know what I mean? So who cares?
Yeah.
Right?
No, that's totally true. Get it. Pipe, what about guys or actors or actresses? They're in the movie. You're for sure going to see it. Who's on that list?
Well, I'm going to be incredibly hypocritical right now.
Okay.
And I'm going to pick an aging actor who hasn't acted in his last 24 or 28 movies, but he's awesome, and that's Denzel Washington.
Okay. No, I'm with you.
I don't remember the last time. Oh, no, that's not true. He killed it in Fences. But pretty much everything else, Denzel plays Denzel, but he is the most charismatic person in Hollywood, and I will watch anything he makes and be thoroughly entertained by it.
Dude, I thought he killed it in Magnificent Seven. That was amazing. But yet you're right. It was just him playing him.
Right. What's the thing is, like, when cast in a role where they're like, hey, we need somebody who has swagger, who has a little bit of wit, who keeps a straight face, who sort of has sage wisdom, but is also kind of bad A, like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You're describing Al Mohler right now.
He just shows up. Yes.
Who was also great in the Magnificent Seven. He was incredible.
Al Mohler's going to be so good in The Equalizer.
Al Mohler knife fight scene was incredible.
Dude, somebody please, listeners, Photoshop an Al Mohler image into one of these movie posters. Please do that. That would be amazing.
Hey, Pipe, did you see that last super weirdo? I think it was in the theaters for about an hour and a half. That last Denzel piece. What was it called? Had a really weird title. What was that? It was like the name of his character was the name of the movie, and he played based on a true story. He played like a lawyer or something like that.
They actually didn't even keep it in the theater long enough to finish the movie.
Yes,
it was a 2-hour movie, and it was in the theater for an hour and a half.
Yeah, it was 90 minutes. I don't remember. I don't think I saw that, but now I'm annoyed because if there's a Denzel movie I haven't made a point to see, I feel like I'm lying to our listeners.
I'm surprised you haven't seen that, man.
I don't see everything in the theaters because I'm not. Sadly, I don't make $154 million over 4 years. So I will,
You can get it on iTunes. It went straight. It was one of those.
iTunes.
It had like one showing at my theater on a Friday, and then it went straight to iTunes the next morning. You know?
All right.
Nice.
You guys answer these questions. I'm going to figure out which movie this was.
All right, Big R, who is it for you? The actor, if they're in it, you're there.
I would say this is as close as I can just come up with on the spot. I think you'll have some appreciation for this, Big T.
Yeah.
Paul Giamatti.
Oh, Giamatti, man. Love him.
Man, I love Paul, man. PG, man.
Baby, PG is so money. I just watched The Truman Show again, which is fantastic. And PG has a little side role in that.
Do you have a cameo in that?
Dude, more than a cam. He's like the production assistant on the whole Truman Show.
Oh, gotcha.
Program. Yeah, he's really good, man.
That was
just like a harbinger of things to come for Paul Giamatti. That was early Giamatti.
I know, and he's one of those super rare stars that like he just has to open his mouth and talk, and I just want to watch him. Like I'm fixated. You know what
super
I mean?
Super watchable, super compelling guy.
He's so compelling. Yeah.
And Jamie, what's your favorite Giamatti?
I love, man. He made this weirdo. He made this like magic movie called The Illusionist, where he plays like the I forget who the main character is, but he plays kind of like the chief of police.
Okay.
Came out a few years ago.
Yeah. That was a good movie.
Edward Norton is the star. It's fantastic, man. And Giamatti, this has a little bit of this accent, and he's like this Danish police chief, and he's just awesome in it. I loved him.
Nice, baby.
Yeah. Nice. Giamatti, EG, man.
There it is.
The movie you guys were talking about was Roman J. Israel Esquire. And no, I didn't see it in the theater, but I intended to because, he plays like a weird over-the-top lawyer. I think he might be like a civil rights lawyer. I'm not exactly sure. But I'll definitely be streaming that via some service. Not going to give any names because they don't pay us to sponsor them.
I feel like Denzel's done a whole subgenre where he's like homeless and trying to raise a kid. Is it one of those movies? He's living out of the back of a car raising a kid. It's real heartrending.
It's not like what Will Smith tried to do 10 years ago. It's more like
like 10 times.
Yeah, I was gonna say over and over and over again.
The thing about Denzel that you have to appreciate is by his age, you would think, and he still does these, right? You would think he would just be making these really bland action adventure movies to try to get his own Taken, genre all these guys, they end up just making all the super action adventure ones. And he does make some of those, but then he still makes weirdo movies that nobody watches, kind of like the one you just said, Pipe.
But the best thing about Denzel is that in those weirdo action movies, Tom Cruise and Denzel are about the same age. Tom Cruise pretends to be 32. Denzel is no, I'm 66 and I'll still whoop you.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, he just shows up and he's like, no, I'm an old retired tough guy, but I'm still tougher than you are. That's how he rolls.
They grab him by the ankles and dip him into a vat of black paint every morning to make him to make his hair appear young. It's the saddest thing.
They dip him into a vat of youthberry tea, hoping to
reclaim. It's so compelling. That would be better. That would be better if they would dip him into a vat.
Yeah, at least that would be all natural.
It would.
Dude, what happened to TC, man? Because when you look at him now, the dude's obviously in good shape. I mean, nobody's denying that. But something happened to where his face looks all he looks wider. Waxing. Am I making that up or what?
Are you familiar with the concept of aging?
No, because I'm Ronnie Martin.
Oh, exactly. Fair. Well, for the rest of us, as you get older, gravity and deterioration do things to faces and skin and wrinkles around the eyes. And I think that's just all it is he's starting to look approximately his age minus the black paint.
But don't you think that he's a guy that visits his own personal on retainer plastic surgeon once or twice a month? I mean, that's kind of how I think of TC, right?
I would hope so.
I also think he's insane, however. Well, he can't go to a plastic surgeon because he's, Christian Scientist, and they don't do medical stuff. So
yeah, he's a Scientologist. Pipe, you got that so wrong. He's not a Christian Scientist.
Okay.
He's a Scientologist, man.
Christianist.
I fear for your life now.
Sorry to all Christian Scientists out there.
I fear that L. Ron Hubbard Jr. is going to be at your at your doorstep any minute now, just telling you
Ronald J. Hubbard, Ronnie Hubbard.
I think that's one of the most underrated crazy things about Tom Cruise is how deep into that he is, how publicly disastrously corrupt that whole thing is, and how nobody cares.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
Why do you think – to me that's so interesting because, especially since – I forget what's her name that wrote the book and has done, done all this work to expose, the corruptiveness of – the corruption of Scientology.
Rachel Held Evans?
No.
Why can't she go after that? I feel like that'd be a good thing for her to turn –
after Scientology?
Turn her gaze on Scientology for a minute.
Or Christian Science as pipeline.
Either one. Mary
Baker Eddy or whatever.
Yeah, L. Ron Hubbard is shaking in his boots.
Yeah.
Why do you think TC sticks with Scientology, though? Do you think he actually buys it, or is he just – what is it?
I have absolutely no idea, baby. None whatsoever.
I think that if you're brainwashed and in a cult, you don't see what you're in.
Yeah, good point.
So I'm fairly certain he buys into it because he's maybe that black paint's got something in it. It brainwashes him.
I hope
that black paint has some dye in it. I'll tell you that much.
My actor is Brad Pitt. I'll watch anything that Brad Pitt.
Anything?
Does.
Really? Anything.
Dude, I've seen his whole library. Yeah, and I celebrate all of it.
What's the last made some movie? Dogs of movies, though.
He has made a couple, Pipe. He's made a couple real dogs. Troy was terrible.
We'll blame Eric Bana for that.
What else has he done that's been terrible, though? Like really, really terrible. Besides Troy.
Was it Babylon or what was the name of that one?
Yeah,
that one was. Right. I mean, it was like it was artsy bad, which is a different kind of bad. Yeah, than
he made forgettable stuff, is what he's made. Just
it was artsy, depressing bad for sure. But dude, Brad Pitt is such a great movie star, though. Like, I would watch him eating a sandwich, which is basically his entire body of work in all three Ocean's movies. dude, he's great at the beginning of Moneyball, just like turning a radio on and off in an empty stadium. It's phenomenal. Like,
see, dude, that's what I think his. That's what I think his wheelhouse is. Is stuff like Moneyball, but like I just wish he would make stuff like that.
Dude, he's so credible as an ex-athlete. You know what I mean? He's just got that presence. He's got that physical stature that you look for.
But I like him in that down on his luck role too.
Because I like that too.
Look at this guy, and you're like, well, man, nothing. You know, he's Brad Pitt, right? He's had like the charmed life of all charmed lives, except for his personal life. That's all of them, right? But you kind of go, but you love to see dudes who everybody wishes they were like to play roles where they're down on their luck. It's why TC was so effective in Jerry Maguire. You know?
Yeah, it gives them a little humanity.
It does. Yeah. It does. Yeah. And that's what I want to see BP do, man. Just like I want to see TC do another Jerry Maguire. You know?
It'd be nice. I'd watch Jerry Maguire too. Actually, the real Jerry Maguire, who I got to interview for a book project. It was pretty cool. But his name is Lee Steinberg, and he's had kind of a like, you know, ascended to the top, like bottomed out for a while because of some things, and now he's back. So I actually think Jerry Maguire 2 that kind of followed that that arc would be interesting. So Tom Cruise, Cruise family, Tom's representatives, if you guys are listening, I mean, this could be a great opportunity. So give us a call. We could be involved. So. You know, yeah, I'm sure they're listening.
I guarantee he'll bake into his rider for that one, though. There has to be at least one sprinting scene where he just sprints away from the camera at top speed.
We got to get him sprinting for sure. I mean, that's maybe we'll get him sprinting through the airport with Retreat Man. Get a little cameo for Retreat Man on the movie, and they can run through like an airport lobby together. I think that'd be fabulous.
Can you keep up with him, Ron?
Oh, there's no way on earth.
No. Big R, he's scrawny. He's not fast. So he'd have to like eat a little breakfast that morning to do the athletics.
Yeah, I have to have some carbs, and I'm not, you know, I do a lot of carbs.
Something more than raisins and youthberry.
Yeah, I know. That's not what I eat. So
that's the breakfast of champions right there. Boys, breakfast. we've got like three more minutes left for just time for a quick topic. I want to know your best and worst summer jobs you've ever had since it's summer. Best summer job, worst summer job. Let's go Piper first.
All right. Best summer job was I worked landscaping, and which doesn't sound like an awesome job, but it was a smaller privately held landscaping company. So I was working with a bunch of guys my age, a couple of whom I went to church with, and we got a bunch of government contracts, which meant that we had to get paid like government union minimum wages. So it was like 17, 18 bucks an hour as a high school student. And this was a couple decades ago, which means that was even more money then. And so, yeah, I felt like I was just rolling for two straight summers doing that. And doing physical labor I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. So everything from planting to, you know, laying sod and building retaining walls and all that stuff. It was a really, really good time. Worst job, let's see. I worked grounds crew at Wheaton College one summer, maybe two summers.
Nice.
Which is exactly like landscaping, except for like 42 cents an hour with an angry boss and like no room for mistakes at all.
Wait, why was he angry? I thought everyone was happy at Wheaton College.
Oh, no, this was...
This is news to me.
This was one particular guy was quite... Well, really? You think everybody who works at a Christian organization is happy? No, usually not the maintenance people because they're the ones cleaning up behind all the snotty rich kids who destroy their property. But the other thing was like first day he puts up a map of the campus and he points to like four different buildings and he's like, these are our trophies. They are perfect all the time. You know, if anything is out of place, we hear about it. If we hear about it, you're gone. That was basically his pitch.
Wow.
And so,
gone
yeah.
Where? Like kicked out of the college?
Right? Well, like
gone dead.
Like fired from your minimum wage job in 98 degree heat.
I mean, you wouldn't really be breaking your heart too badly on that one.
I know. Right? I was like, maybe I'll just go dump an ashtray on the sidewalk there to see what happens. But yeah, so that was not my favorite job. Some cool people I worked with there, but it was like all of the worst things about landscaping and none of the perks, the money, the company, the cool boss, any of it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Big R, best and worst summer jobs.
Baby, I don't even know how to answer that. I mean, I grew up in a rural community. There was like nothing nearby. So my dad used to just pay me in the summer. We lived on like a bunch of land and he just paid me to like weed and like do all these projects he had for me. That's literally all I did growing up if I wanted any cash.
There you go.
So yeah. So I didn't have like my time working like, you know, at the fast food place. I just never did anything like that. So I mean, none of it was enjoyable. But yeah. it's the only thing I know before I got out into the real world, and that's all I did. Yeah. Crazy. What about you?
So worst summer job, similar to Pipe. I was actually the campus mailman at Taylor one summer. So I had this big blue van, this old blue, like today we would call it a homeschool van, but back then it was just a really huge van.
Back then it was a kidnapper van.
Yeah, exactly, with no air conditioning. And I would load the van up with like packages and deliver them all over campus. That's my job. Wow. And actually, it wasn't that bad, except I crashed the van one time. So I was just listening to music and not paying attention. It was totally my fault. I ran like a four-way stop and a guy like barreled into me. So I crashed the van. That was tough. Worked with a bunch of awesome like older ladies, though. They were super fun. They were really cool about even me crashing the van. It didn't seem to like fluster them at all. So that was probably the worst. The best summer job, worked for the Indianapolis Colts one summer as a ball boy. So this was like Harbaugh era. It was Marshall Faulk's rookie year. So yeah, I was for a high school kid, man, summer gig. That was, that was pretty sweet. Pretty
funny. What's the difference between a ball boy and a bat boy, Big T?
Well, really for us, man, I mean, I don't know what it looked like on game days, but this was more of like a training camp job. So we would just set up like all the stuff on the field for drills, you know, before they would come out for practice, we would set all that stuff up and just, we actually like put the logos on the helmets and like did all the equipment things. It was pretty sweet, man. For a high school kid who loved football.
So it's kind of the football version of a bat boy.
Yeah, I guess. Having never been a bat boy though, I mean, I can't speak with any sort of veracity into like what that life
entails. I think the main difference, Ron, is that there are no bats in football.
That's it. I mean, I didn't want to state the obvious, but yeah, that's a big difference. You know, it's a big difference.
All right, guys. So. Rachel the Hell Evans.
Okay, too much sports. Ron, you got to give us a signal or something, man. You got to like sniff if McGuire's in the room.
Oh, I've been blowing my nose for the last 45 minutes. Come on, man. I got Kleenexes flowing around my my table here like mud.
There you go. Well, this has been Happy Rant Sports. We have wandered to and fro throughout these topics. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
In a recent survey, parents reported that 52% of homeschooled children need learning accommodations. These parents need practical advice, encouragement, and hope to fuel their homeschooling efforts. The Empowering Homeschool Conversations podcast is where parents gain wisdom on how to teach unique learners successfully at home, like Laura, who recently told us, "I needed this episode. I don't need a fancy curriculum or need to be a special ed teacher to teach my son. You have given me hope." To listen now, go to Life Audio or search Empowering Homeschool Conversations on your favorite podcast app.